Couple minutes in case there's any stragglers. And yeah, there's one. Okay, so I hope everyone's nice and relaxed now. I've enjoyed a lovely retreat. What's passed of it? We're almost up to lunchtime and there'll be some cleaning and packing to do. But still a lovely day. Sun's out, it's going to be warm, so yeah, you can still enjoy it as you pack up and clean up and maybe this afternoon have a chat and a cup of tea and talk to the people you weren't allowed to talk to before. Might meet some interesting people, good friends. Okay, so this is the second last talk I'm going to give. The last will be a farewell talk at 1:30, and I'd like to just with this last session or second last session just to add one more tool to your toolbox in terms of meditation. So that's the practice of metta, both in and out of meditation. And yeah, okay. So for a start, someone was asking about the teddy bears. What are the teddy bears for? I haven't made any use of them yet. Well, it's a bit late now, but there we go. These are special meta inspiring props. I know Ajahn Brahm uses them on his long 9-day retreats, just to give someone something, people something to focus on when they want to direct their meta to something. So a little cute toy is fine. Doesn't have to be a sentient being, but obviously the sentient beings are worthy of meta even more than teddy bears. To start with, this concept of meta, what is it? It's a feeling more than anything. It's like an emotion, a state of mind that you can feel. An intention that may others be well, may Tom be well. You can be specific, or you can direct it to certain groups of people. You can it's just generally that particular feeling. I mean, it's a kind of love. It's a kind of love of, but in English, love has taken on quite a few different meanings. It can be a love of baklava. It can be it can be a love of TV shows. It could be a love of a person. That sort of an amorous love of a person. But the kind of love we're talking about here is this loving kindness, the metta, the just the happiness that other people are happy, the wish that someone's suffering be alleviated, and may someone's good fortune continue. Yeah. So that's the general idea of metta. We'll probably finish the retreat with a little bit of metta meditation, a guided meditation. So that'll be up about after the 1:30 talk. And for now, that's the general idea of metta. And we might, as people often ask, well, okay, this is what we ought to cultivate. How do we do it? How do we cultivate it? And it's a practice that goes on outside of meditation as well as within the meditation. So, oh, that's right. Yeah, I was going to say, because we've been chanting this the Metta Sutra in English each morning and in the evening last night. So I'd really encourage people just to take that that little booklet, maybe get a copy for yourself, and just get it from the internet and just go over the words in there. You know. Just compare it to your own mind, your own intention, your own way of life. You know, am I? do I despise any beings at any state? Maybe. Do I? Am I proud and demanding, or am I gentle, straightforward in speech? All these things. Yeah, it's a really nice sutta that gives you a bit of something to contemplate. So I'd definitely recommend that. And there's this phrase that's used throughout the scriptures, the Buddha scriptures, where it says that when one practices metta, one abides pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. So one quarter is like the east, the west, the north, the south. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around and everywhere, and to all is to oneself. One abides pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving-kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. So for those of you who are goal-oriented, as some people have mentioned that they are, that's really what you're aspiring to. That's the that's the pinnacle of the practice of metta, is just to have loving-kindness for just absolutely everyone, with no exceptions, don't hold anything back. It's just pure love. Yeah, so knowing what it is, people would like to know, well, how do I practice this? Sitting in meditation and you want to cultivate metta, how does that work? So I definitely start with what goes on outside of meditation, from when you wake up in the morning to the time you put your head on the pillow at night. We start out with this the actions of the body, the external actions of the body, where and we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about internal and external hindrances. This is sort of like the internal and external, and taking this from the sutta. So let's give me an example. So external bodily things, that's for it, like helping an old lady across the road, or chopping carrots for lunch, for whatever you do to prepare the food for the meals here. The cleaning, the people that bring me the tray of breakfast in the morning and offer me my toast and all that sort of stuff. All of those things are sort of actions of the body that go on during the day. These acts of metta, and it's done from the right place. So that's one part. And then there's the that's in public. So, and then you've got the bodily actions in private as well. So, these are all the things you do when no one's looking. maybe you want to surprise someone with some sort of nice thing they'll like, and then there's this, they get a nice feeling when they realize you've actually been behind the scenes thinking about them and acting to make them happy. So we're talking about the body and the speech, the kind speech that we use. I mean, here we have the kindness of silent speech, which is nice. So, but also when you're talking to people and you say, oh, geez, Bianca, you know, I know Bianca's here, but good old Bianca, thank you for organising so many retreats. You've done so well. I remember she was looking after, I think she actually got a chance to sit in on the first, on that meditation retreat back in November 2005 with Ajahn Chittamala. That was my first 9-day retreat, and she, at that time she'd been doing retreats for a long time. And this is before Janagrave even existed. So, yeah, she put a whole lot of work into every retreat, and then in 2005, November, she got to do a retreat of her own and with Ajahn Chittamala, who's now in Germany. So you can say, hopefully she'll hear this. So I'm... In a way, it's sort of saying something kind in private. It's not when she's around. So, yeah, you can practice this loving kindness through speech, to the people who are right in front of you. And you're all really cool. Hey, guys. Hello. And the people who are elsewhere. Even if they never actually know directly that you've said something good, at least it still builds up that feeling of metta, that relaxed warmth feeling you have in the heart when you cultivate metta. And and then there's the mental actions, both public and private. So I might be sitting here and I have the intention that I hope you all get something out of this retreat and keep practicing and get some nice results, and may it all just go along swimmingly. So that could be my public thought, although it's not really public because it's in my head, but sort of in public. And just the private thoughts that we have throughout the day, thoughts of loving kindness, the thoughts of, that was so nice. That was so nice of that person to do that. So in that sense, you cultivate the metta outside of the meditation. You practice action. Just remember that the actions of body, speech, and mind, public and in private. This is the way we develop kindness, the harmony, and this is the antidote to the ill will, the hatred, the unhappy states of mind that we have. Like that simile of the someone gets angry, it's like throwing hot coals at someone. You know, you might burn them, but you'll certainly burn yourself. So we cultivate the metta to overcome those states of mind, so for our own benefit and for the benefit of others. And this is the effort we make to develop harmony in our community, this small community we've developed for the last couple of days, the community back at the monastery. One thing that came to mind after the questions last night, they were talking about children and teaching them to meditate and teaching about Buddhism and stuff. And I said, maybe wait till the mid-teens. But I also thought that sometimes people bring their kids to the monastery, so Bodhinyana or Dharmasara, and they have an instant like for the place, just the feeling of the place, that feeling of happiness and generosity. So I think that's a really good way to introduce kids, is just to sort of bring them along and let them have a good time and let them see a few kangaroos and stuff. And I know some kids, they're like 4-year-olds, they're just totally enthusiastic about the place and the monks and the people there, and possibly the food as well. Food's pretty good. So, I thought I'd throw that in there because it just came to mind. Right, so, having cultivated metta in your life as you go through it from moment to moment, from hour to hour, to day to day, the more you do that, when you sit down and practice metta meditation on the chair or on the cushion, I suppose you could do it walking meditation as well, even with perhaps with a mantra, some sort of mantra, you know, two or six syllables. That's something you could try. But the main thing is, once you've cultivated this feeling throughout the day, through weeks and weeks and months and months, when you sit down, it's really easy to bring up that feeling. You know, you can sort of feel it in the chest, in the heart, that sort of warmth, that relaxation through the body. And, so that makes it quite a bit easier. And, you can practice just like that passage I read out, pervading the people to the east, the people to the north, the people to the west, the people to the south. And there's endless categories you can work with, from bugs to dogs to mammals to whales to, yeah, it's just a way of breaking it up into different groups, something that you can identify or relate to in an emotional way. Teddy bears. Yeah, even teddy bears, it's quite easy to have metta for them, but especially when you've been practicing throughout the days. I don't really have a plan for the metta meditation this afternoon. I know I'll probably just ad lib it. There's not what I've given you in terms of the Metta Sutta and that passage is pretty much all there is in the most of what there is in the scriptures. But there's a couple of teachers out there that have different ways of doing formal metta practice, and probably the most well-known of that is Sharon Salzberg and her book Loving Kindness, and that's very much that uses mantras quite a lot to develop the different kinds of metta, the stages of metta. So you might want to have a look at that book if you're more interested. Ajahn Sujato is actually quite well known. He's over in Taiwan at the moment with a translation project. But he does quite a lot of metta. So you might be able to find, if you hunt around, some of his talks from the 9-day retreats he's given here. See if you can find that. That might give you a bit more structure in your metta practice. And his practice basically comes from a Thai Ajahn Maha Chat Chai, who's not very well known. I don't think he's got any books published, although I think there might be some materials in our library based on that method. But I think, if you get a chance, so you can find those talks as well, they might help. So, and I know Ajahn Brahm likes to mix things up. He tells the story of the time he used meditation. He used metta in breath along with the breath meditation. So actually having metta just towards the breath. So this whole process of breathing in and out. And he said he had wonderful results. So because metta is often not accompanied by thought, it's something that you can use in those sort of situations very skillfully. We talk about attachment. Obviously, you know, here in Buddhist circles that, we're not supposed to be attached to this, attached to that. But, if you're sitting there and this thought of metta comes up, like, geez, I'm glad I've known Tom such a long time. We've been mates for years and years, and well over 10 years. And when those sort of thoughts come up, you know, don't worry about being attached to them. Those are the things we should be attached to. That's when metta comes up. You just say yes, good, I'm going to be attached to this. That's fine. You can do it quietly and then go back to going back to the silent mind. Yeah. So there you go. Okay, so maybe that's a bit of a short talk. I don't have much more to say on that topic. Yes, so it's now 10 to, a bit past 10 to 10, and I think we've got a bit more time for meditation before lunchtime. So, yeah, you can sit here for a bit longer until it's time to eat. Or, yeah, you just go for a walk outside and enjoy the sun. And, yeah, relax. Had a nice walk around this morning. Had up to the top of the hill and down to the gardens below the bottom cottages. And, yeah, it's amazing how it's all come together over the last 8 years. We couldn't get anything growing down the bottom there before. But you go down there now and it's a jungle. So hasn't really been well maintained, but at least it's there, it's growing, plenty of wildlife, lots of room for the birds to come and play. There's some, I found some nice seats down by the dam there, some benches and stuff, just to sit and contemplate the forest around us. So we'll have to leave it soon. Well, you guys have to leave it soon, so... So enjoy it, yeah. Yeah, take it easy, and I think after we've had our nice farewell talk and a little bit of metta meditation at the end, then it's time to go. But for the moment, yeah, you can enjoy another nice half hour of meditation. Why not, eh? Cool. All right. Thank you.